so glad. Let us pray. Father, we bless and we magnify your holy name. As a matter of fact, Lord God, we sing like Mary. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. I do, and we do celebrate Jesus, our King, our Lord of Lords, great God Almighty, wonderful Savior, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. We celebrate you today. Oh, God, we thank you. God, we thank you. God, we thank you. We bless you. Thank you, Lord. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts in these next few moments. God, help us to see your faithfulness. Help us to see your love. Help us to see, God, how great and powerful you are. Oh, God, and that this life that you've begun for us in Jesus Christ will continue, Lord God, from now throughout eternity. Help us, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that we would just be open to what you would speak and that your word would make a difference, Father. If we're sitting in this place today and we're broken, I pray, God, that we would take hold to the healing that comes forth as a result of Jesus Christ and his coming to this earth, Father. Oh, God, whatever it is, Father, if we need healing today, Father, if there's deliverance, if we're someone who has never known what it is to have peace, God, today, God, we would just take hold of what Jesus came to give us. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see us all, everyone, and you know what each and every one of us needs. God, help us to say yes to you. Receive what you have for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to begin reading at Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Now, in those days, a decree went out from the emperor, Caesar Augustus, that all the inhabited world, the Roman Empire, should be registered in a census. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to register for the census, each to his own city. So Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register with Mary, who was betrothed to him and was with child. While they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her son, her firstborn, and she wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no private room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord flashed and shone all around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For this day in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, the Messiah. And this will be a sign for you, by which you will recognize him. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Then suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, angelic army, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were astounded and wondered at what the shepherds told them. What they talking about? But Mary treasured all these things, giving careful thought to them and pondering them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. This chapter begins with Mary, who is heavy with child, at the point where she will soon be giving birth to him. They've been told that they need to go to their home city to register in the census. Their hometown is, if they go one direction, about 65 to 70 miles away. If they go, that's the short way going through Samaria. If they go the long way, it's about 90 miles. Scripture doesn't say which route they took, but we do know that they traveled to their hometown so that they could register for the census. Now, they didn't have cars and trucks and boats and planes and highways that are well paved. They had bumpy, lumpy roads. Their transportation was either by foot, donkey, or cart. She's heavy with child. It's going to be very uncomfortable for her. Under normal circumstances, she could probably, and with the way the hardship of traveling, even might miscarry or give birth to the child prematurely, except God has a day for him to be born. He can't come early and he can't come late. Hebrews says that at a particular time, at the end of all things for men, he came. God had a plan. So it doesn't matter how rough the ride's going to be, how tough the road's going to be. They're passing through dangerous country where there are all kinds of wild animals. On those roads between where they were and their hometown of Bethlehem were thieves and robbers like they are on the streets today. They were subject to any kind of dangerous thing happening to them, whether it be from people or be from animals. But God was with her. God was with them because they had to go to Bethlehem. Micah said in Micah chapter 5 that the Savior would be born in the city of David, Bethlehem. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 4 that the virgin would give birth, and the virgin on her way to Bethlehem, like the prophet said, is going to give birth in Bethlehem and no place else. I see the faithfulness of God. I see the power of God. I see the plan of God that is flawless. I see the plan of God and the word of God that cannot be altered. No matter what she had to go through to get where she needed to be, God was going to get her there. That's a word to us today, church. That's a word to us today, church, that when God's plan is working, when you have come into God's kingdom, when you belong to God, those things that God has spoken concerning you, they're coming to pass just like God said. The work that God has begun in us will be completed until the day of Jesus Christ. No matter how many ditches you come into and you run into, no matter how many times you stumble and fall, what God said is going to take place. So we don't care that she's got to travel 65 or 90 miles. Doesn't matter. She's going to get where she's going, and he's not going to be born out of season. He's going to be born on time. The plan of God. Powerful. The plan of God, the will of God, always going to be done. Nothing short, not one word of what God said is going to fail. She's on her way, and she's on her way at the At the time that God knew that she would be going, God knew the situation. He knew the circumstances. But God's plan is not altered by what we might have to face. God's plan is not altered by the things that come to challenge us. No matter what our challenges are in life, it was not easy for Mary, is what I'm trying to tell you. It was not easy for her, but she did it anyway. Today we're a bunch of panty waist Christians who wants everything to go well. We want everything to go smooth. Now, Lord, don't let this happen. Lord, don't let that happen. Grow up, church. It's time for us to see that if in those days, this lady with no real transportation like we call transportation, as a matter of fact, some of us think today, if my car don't run, I'm not going. God forbid that I have to catch the bus. I remember when the buses ran through Brooklyn in the morning at 5:40. There's not another one coming until 8:00. So if you got to be at work at 8, if you got to be at work at 9, and if you work in St. Louis at Southwestern Bell, you better leave at 5:40 if you got to be at work at 8. That's all I'm saying. I had to catch the bus at 20 minutes to 6 to be at work at 9:00. You know what I'm saying? Some days it was 8, some days it was 9. And, but you better be out there. I don't care how you complaining. You best be out there so you can catch that bus. And we have it so easy nowadays. And a little hardship's not going to hurt you. Little hardship's not going to hurt you. What it's going to do is it's going to grow you up. We see this woman braving the elements probably. We don't know what the temperature was like. We don't even know, because we don't know exactly when he was born. We know it wasn't December the 25th. That's just a date that we set. So we don't know what the temperature was like. We don't know what the climate was like, but it didn't matter. She had to get to where she was going because she was the virgin and the baby was supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Okay? And so we're going to get there no matter what the challenge. No matter what the challenge. Say, no matter what the challenge. And so we look at verse number 6. And so it was that while they were there in Bethlehem, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. The time of God was upon her, in other words. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The inn was not like hotels today or motels today, but actually it was the upstairs of someone's house. The lower floor was where they did their business. The lower floor was where they brought the animals in at night. And that's why he was born among the animals. That's why he was born and laid in an animal trough, because the animals had a trough where they, for their feeding and at night. And so Jesus was laid in a manger, or an animal trough, a feeding trough for animals. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of the ages, the God who made that place, is born in a manger. God showing us that no matter how low he has to go, no matter how low he had to go, and no matter how low he has to go, he will go the distance to save us. God came as a human being so that he could identify with us. And then he didn't come as somebody who lived in a palace. He didn't come as somebody who lived in the best neighborhood. He came and was born in a place where animals were stored at night. There was no room for him upstairs. He came and he was born in a place where animals are stored at night, among the animals. All kinds of things going with animals. They're pooping. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Animal waste is there. Yeah. It's not clean where he is. It's not sanitary where he is. Upstairs would have been better. God came in such a way as to show us wherever you might end up or wherever he might find you, he's willing to go to that place. If he's willing to be born among animals, if he's willing to be born among in an unclean place, how much will he come to rescue you from the unclean place? God came for all men for all times, no matter the condition of your life, no matter the condition of your heart, no matter where he might have to look for you. When I see him born under these conditions, I think that God stooped to the very lowest so that he could raise us to a place that was high above all degradation, high above all things that are low. God came and made the way, and he started in the lowest place. And then after he's born, they don't even have fitting clothing for him. They wrapped him in rags. They tore clothes and they wrapped him in rags. God loves you. God loves you. He's the King of Kings. He could have had robes. He could have had crowns. He could have been born in the king's palace. He could have, but he didn't. God wants us to know how much he wants us, how much he loves us. So he started at the bottom. They wrapped him in rags, tied him up, and then laid him in the feeding trough. That same night, shepherds were not the cream of the crop in society. They were not the people that you would hang out with. God is doing something here, church. He's doing something with this thing here. These are not the people you're going to invite to your party. These are the people you're going to make sure you say, don't tell so-and-so. So-and-so may be your friend, but you don't want so-and-so at your party. Okay? And God forbid that they find out. Cause now you got to get out of it. Now you got to get out of. Make sure you keep this to yourself now. Cause I'm inviting you, she can't come. He can't come. Those were the shepherds. They were the low man on the totem pole, so to speak. They were the lowly people. That's why it was such a wonder when God chose David to be king, because David was a shepherd. He was not the one that anybody would choose to be king. God does not go by what we see, but he goes by what he knows. And he goes by his plan, which is greater than anything that we could even begin to imagine. God doesn't look at us the way we look at each other. We look at each other by where we live and where we build and what's going on in the neighborhood and what the neighborhood is and where you are in society. God's not even looking at that messy mess. God is looking at the heart. God has an eternal plan. He didn't even choose a girl that was of a great stature. All she had to do was belong to the tribe of David. He didn't look for the girl in society that everybody would have a coming out party for. He didn't do that. The Bible says, you have found favor in the sight of God. And then he said, God chose you because he chose you. That's what it is. You've been chosen because God chose you. Period. You don't have any credentials that impress the Spirit of God. You don't have any credentials that qualify you for anything that you do in the kingdom. You don't have any credentials. Yeah. That's one reason why I don't like these bios that we have to send to people when we go on to speak and they read and they went and they graduated to the MS and the DDD and they've spoken to presidents and they've traveled to this place and they've traveled to that place and they've done this and that. Do they have a word from God? Are they anointed? Is the presence of God going to carry that word to your heart? That's what you need to know. Did God send them? Now where did they go to school? Now whether they got the hermeneutics and the homiletics Do they know Jesus? Is Jesus resting in their heart and in their soul? That's all we need to know. That's all we need to know. And before you called them, you should have known. Hallelujah. I just got off. Let me go back to that night. The shepherd, the lowly one, the unimportant people, the people who don't matter in society. God is saying something here. God is saying, I'm reaching everyone. Jesus saves what? To the uttermost. To the uttermost. Let's look at verse 8. And there were in the same country, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, shepherds. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone right about them, round about them, and they were sore afraid. Imagine you just there keeping your sheep, and suddenly everything lights up. It's like the noonday. And the angel of the Lord is speaking to you. You're not expecting this. You're not expecting all of this drama anyway. Sometimes I say, God can be so dramatic. And then other times he's quiet as the church mouse. And tonight he's being dramatic. And the angels appear to them. And the Bible says they're afraid. This is break and run, get out of here kind of afraid. They ready to go. And the angel tells them, nah. And the angel says, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. When God made promise in Genesis 3:15, he said that man was going to be reconciled to God through the woman's seed. Women don't carry seed. So the seed had to come from God himself. In Genesis chapter 12, God said to Abraham, all nations will call you blessed. All nations will be blessed in you. In Genesis chapter 28, God said to Jacob, all families in the earth will be blessed in you. God said, even then, it's not stopping with the Jews. God said, even then, it's not just going to be Israel. God said then, every nation on the face of the earth. When you look in the book of Revelation, you see every nation, every kindred, every tongue. Where do we get this foolishness in the body of Christ that divides us into the black church, the white church, the Asian church? Where do we get this foolishness when Jesus came to reconcile all men? When Jesus came to make one man, one nation? When Jesus came to make us one kingdom of Almighty God? Where do we get the dividing? He said all people. Not just Israel. All people. I feel so included today. I feel so all right with God today. All nations and anybody in those nations, welcome to come. For God so loved the world. The world. Didn't say the church. Didn't say the Jew. It said God so loved the world. God so loved the drunk today. God so loved the liar today. God so loved the cheat today. God so loved the bitter and the unforgiving person today. God so loved the adulterer today. God so loved anybody committing sexual activity out of marriage between a man and a woman. God so loved today. Born in a manger. God said, I'll come low. God said, I'll come to where you are. Hey, don't care how broken and how messed up you are. Don't care how many lives you've messed up. God said, I come low. I come to where you are. Don't matter how society has rejected you. I come to everybody. That's why he went to the shepherds. Because they're rejected by society. We wouldn't hang out with them. But Jesus will. When he walked the earth, they accused him of hanging out with the sinners. Jesus said, I need to. God goes where the need is. He goes where, he goes where the broken soul is. He goes where the person is who feels like he's worthless. There are people on this earth today who feel like they don't matter. And Jesus wants you to know today, honey, you matter more than you could ever think. Psalm 139 says the psalm of God's thoughts toward us are more than we can count. Think about that. People tell you that you're worthless. People tell you, I don't desire to be in your presence. I don't desire to be in your company. And Almighty God said, it doesn't matter to me what you've done. Doesn't matter to me what you're doing. Doesn't matter to me what you're gonna do. I want to be with you. The angel said all nations. The shepherds felt included that night. Because they didn't feel included anywhere else. Huh? All nations. Everybody. Every nation. Every tongue. If anybody in the world ought to get this right, it ought to be the church. It ought to be the church. There's no such thing as the kinds of things that divide us. Jesus is the Savior. We're divided over the least little things. God help us. He didn't come for the rich and not the poor. And he didn't come for the poor and not the rich. Hello. Sometimes we treat people bad because they have more than we do. He came for them too. Yes, he did. He came for the meanest person that's on the face of the earth right now. He came for him. He came for her. Yes, he did. He came for all of them. He said all nations and all kinds of people in those nations. Because we do know that all nations have all kinds of people. I remember talking to Dr. Abbas at work one day, and we were just talking about something that was going on. He said, Carolyn, I've traveled all over the world, and I found out this one thing, people are people wherever you go. He said, people are people wherever you go. Huh? Ain't nothing different except skin color. That's all. Everybody is in the sight of God. All we have to do is accept Jesus as Savior. He said, this night, joy to all nations, peace to all nations. Not one here and there, but every nation. We might as well get along down here. Cause up there, ain't no not getting along. I might not say it that right, but it ain't no not getting along. Last time somebody didn't want to get along, he got kicked out. That's his name. We call him Satan. We call him the devil. We call him Lucifer. Whatever you call him, he got kicked out and he can't go back. And God's not gonna ever have that in heaven anymore. So I might as well love you right now. You might as well love me right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus came for every heartache that you could ever have. Jesus came to fix every sickness, every disease. There is none that is too hard for him. Church, I need you to hear this today. Jesus wants to heal your family relationships. He wants to heal all those relationships. He wants to heal your body. He wants to know your value to him today. He wants you to know that you're valuable and precious in his sight today. Say, he came for me. I'm a whosoever. And Jesus came for me. And he's not going to judge you or me by what our neighbor thinks. He's just not. We need to stop allowing the things that people say to us determine how we're going to value ourselves. We need to stop allowing things that people say to us make us think that we're less than and we're not as much as. Because it doesn't work. The Apostle Paul said, I was a such and much of all the such and muches. And then I met Jesus. Ooh, Lord, we need to have an encounter with Jesus an encounter with Jesus. And then you'll find out the only such a much is Jesus. And he accepts you. Hallelujah. And it's come as you are. That's the best part. It's come as you are with your raggedy self. Lying, cheating, stealing. Whatever you do, it's come that way. Because once he's in there, he's going to sanctify your mind. He's going to sanctify your heart. He's going to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. When you come, you're a mess. But when he gets done with you, you'll be holy. You'll be even as he is. Peace on earth, goodwill toward all men. Hey! Whoever. I thank God. I don't know about you, but I thank God. I thank God. I thank God that I get to love you and you get to love me in spite of our differences. In spite of our faults. You have noticed that you're not perfect. I don't know why you got so much against your neighbor who's not perfect. Here you come with your imperfect self. And you got nerve enough to turn your nose up at your imperfect neighbor. Because you're not the same kind of imperfect I am. Like you in a category all by yourself. You just wrong. You just wrong. I'm trying to leave this, but y'all won't let me. I bring good tidings. Great joy. Which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Someone who has come to rescue. What does Luke 4:18 say? Came to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to open the blind eyes. He came to fix what's broken. My God. This day. And from that time forward, it has never been the same. From that time forward, before men sat in darkness with no reprieve. Now the light of God has come, and anybody who's in darkness has a reprieve, has hope. We don't have to stay there. I heard in the opening this morning, God made the way. He made the way. Jesus is the way. And Jesus can do the impossible. He can do the impossible. Speak to anybody from anywhere at any time. Reveal himself to you. I remember reading one time about this tribe of people who had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they got hold to one page of the Bible. And the whole tribe got saved. They had one page. One page. Of the Bible. And the whole, they read it and believed it. You can't tell me we can't read this and believe it. Because we can. You don't need to tell me that I need to go to school and learn certain things about this happened and that happened and get the background on everything. The background is wonderful. Listen to me. I'm not saying it, but sometimes y'all get so lost and caught up in the background, y'all start acting like God didn't breathe this word. This scripture is God breathed. I don't care whether Matthew, Luke, Mark, Isaiah, I don't care who wrote it down. God said it. And I don't care what the circumstances were. When he wrote it down, it's God who said it. We need to stop giving Paul credit for the word. Paul said, I didn't save a one of you. And I'm glad I didn't. This is God breathed.
This word is holy. This word is holy. It's untainted by man. It's untainted by man's opinion. It's untainted by what a man thinks and what a man feels. This is the holy God speaking. And the holy God said, anybody, everybody can come to me and I'll save you. That's good news. That's good news. When your family writes you off, it's good news to know that you're not written off by the God who created you.
That's good news. When the doctor's report says, I can't heal you, it's good news to know that Jesus came that we might be healed. By his stripes we were, past tense, was, W-Z, healed. The Savior, the Healer, the Redeemer was born. Say, my Redeemer was born.
Redeemer.
Whose Redeemer?
Redeemer?
See, this is a personal thing. It's personal. Though we're all included. See, we're collectively the body of Christ. But each person in the body of Christ, God sees you. He understands what's going on with you. He understands what you need, the person. And he's not overlooking that. Hallelujah. And he's not picking one above the other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When, 'cause the Bible says at the end, we all gonna get a crown of life. Now. Whether you preach or usher. Whether you preach or you park the cars. We don't have need for a parking lot attendant yet, but when we get one. Everybody gets what? A crown of what? In the end. Hallelujah. And then we're going to throw him at his feet. That's what the book of Revelation say. Because we know we don't deserve a crown. That's just him being good. Hallelujah. Then I'm going to cast it at his feet. Hallelujah. 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 In the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, is born. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You're going to see him in an animal trough. These guys are hearing the wonder of the ages. And then, not only that angel, but now a multitude of angels break out and start declaring the birth of the Lord. Now, this is what's really funny. Somebody said the way they were doing it, it's the way the in the original text, it sounds like they were singing around, you know, like row your boat. You know, one will start singing one part and then you get to the part where the next you take it up and you start singing it. So they're singing around. It's like these angels are glorifying God in a song that is so powerful and announcing that this king has come, and they're singing around. The angels are singing. The shepherds are having heaven opened up to them. Heaven is open to them, and they're dumbfounded. The angels of the Lord are singing to them. Hallelujah. And suddenly there was with the angel multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. All of us. Amen. Amen. We're all included. And when the angels went away, the shepherds ran to see this thing that they had been told. Found Mary, found the baby, and it was true. And then they shared with everybody what had happened to them. Now, the wonder of this is that nobody saw all that going on with them but them. I've been thinking, what God wants revealed is revealed, and what's not necessarily for you to see, you won't see. I mean, the sky done lit up. How come don't nobody else see this lit up sky? It said in the same country. The scripture said in the same country, nearby. But nobody see this sky lit up but these shepherds.
God reveals himself when he will, where he will, how he will, and to whom he will. They saw this great sight. Nobody heard the angels singing. That's amazing too. Nobody hears all this singing. The sky lit up. Angels hanging all out there singing. And nobody hears it or sees it. Except some shepherds in a field nearby where Jesus was born. Now, I can sit at my house and see the moon. And you can sit at your house and see the moon in the same position. They can sit in their houses in Kansas City and see the moon like we can see the moon. But nobody saw this but the shepherds. God is a wonder. God is a wonder. God is a wonder. God is a wonder. They told everybody what they saw. Mary wondered at what they saw. She pondered in her heart. Mary had been told that her son would be the Savior. Mary had been told that she would give birth to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to the promised Messiah. And yet, she wondered at what these guys said to her. Church, today, as we read these scriptures, we see that the Lord God Almighty, unfolding in that day his plan, is still unfolding in this day his plan. His eternal plan to bring us to the place where we will live with him forever. The Bible says that she brought the Son of God into the world, and Emmanuel, God with us, is what he was called in that particular instance. And then he's called the Savior. All of the names that God has for himself in every instance. To those who are in need, to those who need healing, to those who need joy, to those who need peace, God has named himself for you and your situation. God comes to each of us how we need him, because he wants every one of us to end up in that place where we will be like him when this is all over. Whole, complete, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more disease. Can you imagine? No more anything, no more aches and pains, no more people dying and leaving us. None of that. Never being melancholy or sorrowful again. Never having your heart broken again, ever. That's why Jesus came. He came to make us complete. Let's be those people who accept what he says. You know, so we say, Lord, do it in me. But he came to do it in you. All we need to do is open up. You know, as I was sitting on the front seat today, I thought about when Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, he said, God sends the word as seed. And the person who receives what he says, the person who hears and receives what he said and embraces what he says, that person is changed by that what he hears. My prayer today is that you will hear and hear today that you matter. That you're here and here today that God loves you. That God wants you whole. That God wants you complete. That God wants your family functioning the way a family needs to function. I pray that you all hear that in here today and accept it. Accept what God is offering you. God wants your heart to be free of the things that have been done to destroy you. Things that people said to hurt you. It's like something came across my mind when I was driving over here this morning that was said to me probably 50 years ago. And it was the way that it was said and the way that it was done that it just felt like, ooh. And I thought about it when I was driving. I was saying, Jesus, I don't want to think about that anymore. And it still feel the pain of it. So I receive your word. Here's what I said. I receive your word that says I'm delivered from that pain. I receive your word that says that I am made whole. I receive your word that says that cannot affect who I am another day. Whatever has come in your life to affect you
to tear you down. Receive today that Jesus came to build you up. Jesus came to heal that. Not to patch it up, but to make it whole. He's not doing patchwork today. God, I receive healing today. I receive my peace today. I receive that thing not affecting my life another moment. Not another moment of my life. Stop hiding behind that hurt. Stop hiding behind that. It's time for your coming out party. It's time for your coming out party. Coming out of those things that make you shy away from being who you are. You have thoughts about what you want to do, but you won't because somebody might reject you. You have thoughts about what you, somebody might think, that's silly. But if God doesn't count it silly, you don't pay that any attention. Today, this day, Jesus the Savior is in this house. Jesus, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Ancient of Days, the Lord who made you, the Lord who created you, the Lord who has culminated everything in Him and made it right and well. That Jesus is in here today. I'm going to read one more scripture and I'll be done. I love this scripture and I go to it often when I just want to get a glimpse of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, that he might be first and foremost in our hearts and in our lives. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. The night that he was born was a night like no other. The world was changed forever. Those who know and understand and those who don't know and understand have been changed. People all over this world will be exchanging gifts. Some for the sake of just giving gifts and being loving and not even knowing that the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, came. And our giving is just an imitation of what God did when he gave us Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. This is a holy time of year. This is a sacred time of year. This is a time for the church to remember, like God had Israel to remember in days gone past. He had them to always remember that they had been delivered by a mighty hand out of slavery, out of Egypt. They had to remember, and they would celebrate it on at a certain time every year. God did not call us to do this way, but since we do, let's remember the birth of our Savior and what that means and how it is impacting, not just impacted, but it's impacting us and this world that we live in. Father, we just thank you right now for Jesus, our Lord, for Jesus, our Savior. God, what you have done in Jesus is more than we can articulate. We cannot even begin to say. We cannot even begin to say how powerful our salvation is, how powerful a thing happened when God became flesh and dwelt among us. We cannot even begin to say how powerful that is. We cannot even begin to comprehend how much you have done to save us. But we do say thank you. And as much as we're able to appreciate it, we say thank you. As much as we're able, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord. 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 Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you for our Savior who's gathered all into Him for all times and all ages. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.